There's no question in the minds of God's people that his kingdom is coming. Amen.
Amen.
The reality of this truth is all around us today, I believe. The Bible is very clear to make this point to the born-again children of God. And that point is this. God's kingdom is coming, but it will not come without a fight. I turn your attention to a truth this morning that is so often left out of today's preaching and teaching, and that truth is this. If you truly want to be one of God's children, be prepared to fight. In the sixth chapter of the book that Brother BJ is teaching us from Sunday evenings, 1 Timothy, Paul exhorts the young preacher to fight the good fight of faith. In the opening few verses of Jude, who is quite possibly one of Jesus' younger brothers, Jude, much like Timothy did, exhorts us to, and I quote, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, fighting and contending are interesting words. Fighting, to struggle or battle with someone or something, to engage in physical or armed conflict with an enemy, to contend against an adversary. Notice the very word contend here that we find in Jude's epistle. These two passages clearly emphasize one scriptural truth. Just one truth. Becoming a Christian involves a person to face this fact. The church, the living body of Jesus Christ, has foes. F-O-E-S. Foes. This church has foes. If you're a Christian today, you have foes. Bible makes it very clear. These are definitely enemies who want to destroy God's church. There always have been and always will be enemies whose only purpose is to destroy God's people. Oh, this is a dark and dreary message. These foes will keep trying to destroy God's people until Jesus Christ comes again, as promised in these holy pages. The second time when Christ comes, he will establish God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that what we're supposed to pray for? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. It is in heaven. The second time, Jesus will take care of that for his people. Amen and amen. 70-some years ago, during the Second World War, that'd be 65, 70 years ago, J. Sidlow Baxter wrote these words, "Oh, how many and how strong are the foes of the faith in our modern world." 65, 70 years ago in England, British Isles. Godless politics, economics, and commercial methods. Anti-Christian schools of science, philosophy, psychology, and education. The flood of vicious novels and magazines inciting to voluptuousness and violence. The connivance of our law courts and unchastity and dishonoring the marriage vows, the modern cinema and theater with much that comes through television, the deadly drink traffic, the huge gambling firms, the atheistic clubs and pleasure rings determined on Sunday desecration, not to mention others. It's 70 years ago, all right? What subtle foes also there are in the present day church. Religious rationalism disguised as up-to-date biblical scholarship. The resurgence of sacerdotal ritualism, denominational bigotry, over-organization at the expense of spirituality, a cheap, noisy pseudo-evangelism with its catch-the-crowd tricks, high-pressure methods, and misleading superficiality. Heretical Unitarian sects which beguile the untaught and lead many astray. Seems like that's nothing new in America today. Amen? Standard procedure in America today. It was beginning back then. It's come on stronger ever since, and it will continue until the Lord Jesus comes. We don't want to face that. There are foes out there and many times in here. Why would I preach something like this? Because we need to hear it. 3 foes of the church of our day have manifested themselves throughout human history. It's nothing new. See? It's nothing new. Baxter wrote those words that I read to you in England some 70 years ago. And here today, we face the same enemies. But there was one enemy I want to add to the 2 that he mentioned. Now, foe number 1, as he said, is the outside world. Foe number 2, as he said, are the foes inside the church itself. And I believe foe number 3, foes of the faith, are your and my fallen natures that still remain with us until death. Do you have any remnants of your fallen nature? I do. Maybe I have no right to speak to you about it because of my own faults. But you have faults too. And if you don't think you do, you're feeling fooling no one but yourself. Foe number one, the world. What Spurgeon stood against in the late 1800s in the British Isles, and what Baxter preached and wrote about as a warning in post-World War II England, has become a full-blown movement in the United States of America today. A government that condones using lottery funds for its operation. Abortion and homosexual marrying mandated as lawful by the Supreme Court. Personal gain and market manipulation by its financial institutions being tolerated. The world's business activities and its demand of political correctness and its total ignorance of the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights is rampant today in America. That plus the honoring of the total and complete separation of church and state simply echo the alien empires of the ancient and modern ages of Europe, Asia, and the Middle East. We see repeating itself over and over the sad history of a lost race of humanity. Just as this Bible informs us through the prophets, through its pages, just as the world needs to hear again today. Point number two, the organized church of today itself. Once again, we see that which was achieved during the great Reformation days of Luther and Calvin disappearing, bit by bit, through the later years of the 18th century and accelerating rapidly during the 19th century until we have the situation we find ourselves in today. Revised theology in our seminaries, Bible colleges and pulpits, worship centers being run like corporations and business institutions, entertainment replacing edification, good works replacing spiritual birth, and the Bible being dissected and relegated to mythology and superstitions of uneducated and primitive people. That's going on today in many of America's churches and Bible institutions. The institutional church of the 21st century is an enemy to the true church. Those who preach it, those who forbear it in the pew are guilty. And finally, the worst fall of all, which causes the first two. The remains of each of our own old fallen nature, struggling, fighting, and battling to overcome our becoming more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is not an easy message to preach this morning, But I want us to go to the scriptures. I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 12. Paul writes to the young preacher, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight, Timothy. There are enemies in the church. Turn with me to Jude. I begin the reading with chapter 1. 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I believe both Timothy's application of the word fight and Jude's of the word contend in these passages of Scripture simply echo the warnings of the prophets of the Old Testament and the epistles of the New, as well as the history of God's people found in the five books of Moses, the preaching and teaching of the Lord Jesus himself, and the last book in this holy Word of God. How many pew-sitters in the churches of America read the Bible, study the Bible, know what the Bible teaches? Good question. It is a fight. It is a fact that we as Christians must contend with these foes. But praise his name. Listen to what we find in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Turn with me there, if you will. Chapter 8. It's bad. It's tough. It's hard. But all, my friends, is not lost. Beginning with verse 31, chapter 8. What shall we say to these things? The things I just spoke of. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us, Christian? If you're a Christian here this morning, who can be against us in the world? In the church, in our own fallen nature. Listen, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how could he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, and who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. He can kill you, and you're going to be with Jesus. Amen. The devil is stupid because he hasn't ever conceded to the fact he is already beaten. Yes, things are bad in the world. Yes, things are bad in many of the churches. Yes, things are bad many times in my own life. But I have someone I can go to. I have someone who believes in me even though I fail in so many ways. I have a Christ who, in spite of myself, died in my place. I want you to know this morning, beloved, if you are a born-again child of the living God, you are a conqueror this very moment. All this will soon be over. The promised return of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This old Baptist hymn says it all. It's not in a lot of our newer books. It's in the old Broughton hymnal. And I close with these words. From all the dark places of earth's heathen races, oh, see how the thick shadows lie. The voice of salvation awakes every nation. Come over and help us, they cry. The sunlight is glancing o'er armies advancing to conquer the kingdoms of sin. Our Lord shall possess them. His presence shall bless them. His beauty shall enter them in. With shouting and singing and jubilant ringing, their arms to rebellion cast down, at last every nation, the Lord of salvation, their King and Redeemer shall crown. The kingdom is coming. I'll tell you the story. God's banner exalted shall be. The earth shall be full of his knowledge and glory as waters. Come to the school.